This is actually, it is a topic that, to my mind, is not spoken about often at all. It is one that the Rambam actually really directly talks about. He's like, "Dama de Peiros HaMishnah," and in that sense, like, you know, it's a key in us learning the Rambam talk, "Dama de Peiros HaMishnah." It's one that has some very well-known ideas in certain worlds, and a lot of ideas that maybe are not as well-known in others. It has to do with how to learn Mishnah. We spoke last week a little bit. We spoke about the development of Torah Baal Peh and the significance of Gemara. We spoke about the role of Nevi'im. Last week, we spoke about the authority of Chazal. One of the more interesting things to think about a little bit is the question of how to learn Mishnah and what that really teaches us and what it really tells us, in a certain sense, about our relationship to Chazal. This is not just, some of this is like a regular, like, just Derech HaLimud, some ideas about Mishnah, but a lot of this will hopefully reflect some fascinating things about the way that Chazal did, what Chazal did, and hopefully can make us be sensitive and aware in a variety of different areas. So let's start like this. The Mishnah Ben Sechaz Avos in Perek Hey, the Mishnah here outlines a curriculum. Hu Haya Omer Ben Chameshanim LaMikra, Ben Eser LaMishnah, Ben Shosh Shrei LaMitzvot, Ben Chameshrei LaTalmud. The Mishnah here describes for us, there are schools in Eretz Yisrael. There are schools in Eretz Yisrael in the Zilberman system that really follow this. 5, they start learning Chumash. 10, they learn Mishnah. 15, they start learning Gemara. A very, very clear Seder. And we know, even without the Mishnah, that there are many who do learn in a systematic way. Mishnayos, a language which a variety of people learn. Many learn Mishnayos, not only in those Mesechtos in which there is no Gemara, but even when there is Gemara, you have people all the time, people making siyumim on Shas Mishnayos or on Siddharma Mishnayos. It's something which many, many people do. Many shuls have the minug in a certain sense also of like post-Shacharis, the rabbi, you know, teaches one or two Mishnayos, that way you can chop in an extra Kaddish. And you learn two Mishnayos today, which is always nice. There are different things that are done. How exactly should you learn Mishnah? This is going to impact a couple of different questions. Number one, it will impact the question as to Perushim on Mishnah. What exactly are they doing? For us, hopefully, it can make us aware of differences between different Mefarshim and Mishnah. Number two, it will open up, I think, certain doors for some very, very important and interesting ideas. So let me start like this. The more standard way to relate to Mishnah, what the Rambam does in his Peirush on Mishnah in many ways, what Rashi does when Rashi comments on Mishnayos, what those Mefarshim do is they really view Mishnah, or one way to view Mishnah, Mishnah is the starting point, but you really need Gemara. Mishnah is not that much of an independent limud. Mishnah is something which I need, but it sets the stage to then be able to learn Gemara, which means, in the reverse, that when I learn Mishnah, if I'm only learning Mishnah, what I want to try to do is to have access to what the Gemara says about those Mishnayos. The Rambam writes in his Hagdama to Peirush HaMishnah that part of what he was trying to do is as follows. You can be the smartest person in the world, and you can learn Mishnayos as in-depth as you want just by learning the Mishnah. There is no way you would ever come to the conclusions that Chazal come to in the Gemara. You're going to be mechavin on your own to the Chasuri Mechzera? Like, really? You're going to be mechavin on your own when there's like a word missing here? The Yerushalmi says, Divrei Torah are aniyim b'makom echad and ashirim b'makom acher. So to understand this Mishnah, I have to understand like another Mishnah over there. Or the Mishnah is going to say, like, this is really Divrei Reb Meir. And it's impossible, says the Rambam, really to be able to do so. Which means, how's a person ever learn Mishnayos? Because if I'm learning just on Mishnayos, I'm going to, in all likelihood, have a very hard time interpreting it at all like the Gemara. Not only that, the Rambam says, let's even say I've learned Gemara. I know those Yesodos. How am I really going to... You're holding it. You remember everything at the time that you're learning the Mishnayos, exactly how the Gemara says. Says the Rambam, you often have like a couple of dapim in Shas that are all just trying to explain like a phrase in the Mishnah. You're going to be holding in all of that all the time. So part of what the Rambam wants to do in his Hagdama, in his Peirush on Mishnah, is to give you, as you learn Mishnah, a way of understanding it based on what's found in the Gemara. To be able to take from the Gemara, to glean from the Gemara certain conclusions, so that when I learn Mishnah as independent Mishnah, I'm then going to be able to understand it well. Says the Rambam, there are actually four purposes of what I'm doing, but one of them additionally is, you're now going to be able to, I'm going to write also how we paskin halacha lemaisa. Because otherwise, Mishnayos, what's it really doing for me? I have a hard time understanding it without someone who wrote a peirush in terms of what exactly is does the Gemara say in here? I'm not going to be able to paskin based on the Mishnah because I'm not going to know how we paskin. So the Rambam in many ways is trying to give you what you need to be able to learn Mishnah in an effective way. Mishnah requires Gemara, and because it requires Gemara, I got to do whatever I can to be able to understand it as best as possible. Rashi does it in a bit of a different way. This is what Tovizantif points out. Rashi does it in a bit of a different way. What Rashi does is Rashi is writing on Mishnayos that are in the Gemara itself. So there, Rashi is going to write on the Mishnah, not often the conclusions of the Gemara. Rashi is going to write in the Mishnah, sometimes the Hava Aminas. He's trying to set you up to be able to read Gemara as well as possible. So when you learn the Mishnah, you're going to learn the Mishnah the way the Gemara thought you had learned it. And the Gemara is going to go into its Hava Amina, and that's going to go to its Maskana. This is, again, in many ways, the least exciting approaches. The dependency of Mishnah on Gemara and how it's going to go. So we're going to point out in his Hakdama to Mishnah, in source number 3, this is just Stam, interesting to know. Different Mefarshim explain Mishnayos, even when they want to unite it to the Gemara in different ways. What the Rambam, some, like the Bar Tanur, work in more of a Rashi-like fashion. They're going to know if you ever want to learn Mishnah. A Rashi-like fashion, what that means is that they're going to, like, go each line, explain to you line by line. The Rambam has a bit of a different style. The Rambam style is he will often give you like a substantive introduction of all the klalim that you need in order to then be able to understand things smoothly. So like a longer hakdama to then be able to read through it smoothly. That's the first mahalach. It is, again, I don't know the most exciting mahalach in the world. It says, if you want to understand Mishnayos, you have to have Gemara. And when you're learning Gemara, it's good to understand Mishnayos, and it all sort of flows together. Akan, the standard approach, as he puts it, many of us are probably most familiar with. Kehati does elements of that also, I think. When you learn Kehati, it'll say, and in the Gemara, we assume da-da-da-da, and we paskin da-da-da, and this is the case, and that's how it's really going to, that's how it's going to go. Now, obviously, Masechtas that don't have a Gemara, you're going to work a little bit differently. Okay, it is what it is. Now we come across a couple of very different ideas. A couple of these are going to be very new. So let's try to do our best. There is a Tosfos Yontif in Nazir. This is actually a very famous Tosfos Yontif. Not for Lumdus purposes. This is a Yisod that the Gra has also, and I'll say it the way the Gra says it. This is going to be important for those that ever want to engage in like academic Talmud, or can be very into this also. The same way that Chazal tells us that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, Masechta Shabbos, in Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, we're speaking at the end of Chesuri Mechzeras and how that works in light of some of these approaches. In Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, so too in Mishnah, Yotzei Midei Pshuto. Says Tovas Yontif in Maseches Nazir. He quotes a Rambam here.
And he writes like this.
The Rambam says a pshat about Nazir, not relevant for us. Aval Pishto B'Gemara Lo Pir Shukain. The Rambam here in Pirush on Mishnah is explaining a Mishnah not like the Gemara. Hoel le'in yandina lo nafkamina v'lo midi harishus nesuna lefaresh. Says the Tosfos Yontif, when you were learning Mishnah, do not feel bound by learning Gemara. There's an art to learning how to learn Mishnah independently. The Gemara explains it differently. You are not bound by the interpretations of Amoraim. Not halach lemaisa, we are. But not halach lemaisa, you are not bound by the interpretations of Amoraim. When you want to learn Mishnah, say whatever you want. Say whatever you want in the Mishnah. And there is toeles and there is value in doing so. That means that when you learn a Mishnah in the world of the Gra, this is going to be an interesting thing. When you learn a Mishnah, we want to try to understand that Mishnah without all the additions and changes that the Gemara may give. I want to be able to learn a Mishnah independently to suggest how I happen to understand it. That happens to be a lot of what elements of what academic Talmud are. Elements of academic Talmud are saying this is what the Mishnah said. How did the Amoraim interpret what the Mishnah said? How could you have interpreted it a little bit differently and things like that? They do it in a bit of a different way. But there are elements of this that are very interesting. Some suggest, but it's a very wild idea. This is going to be like a really wild... I don't want to say it in the name. There's some suggest a very, very wild idea. This actually may be very compelling for some and bother some for others. You ever read a... You have an Amora that says an opinion, and he has a kasha on him from a Mishnah. And then what does he do? He defends himself by reinterpreting the Mishnah. And you're sitting there sometimes and you're saying, there is absolutely no way that is actually pshat in that Mishnah. Like, come on. Really? And you're like reinterpreting it by like taking out that one word that goes against me and then suddenly like it all be, no, it's like Naseh Kit Omer. Like, and you're like, nah, come on. Like, for real? You ever have that? There's some who suggest a very wild idea, which is the background to this. It's not necessarily with the grunt, which doesn't have, maybe the following. There is a klal that Amoram don't argue with Tanayim. There's a klal Amoram that don't argue with Tanayim. That's a klal which Reb Chaim writes in Kovet Shirim Baba Basra was not a klal that needed to be the case. Amoram theoretically could argue with Tanayim, but Amoram accepted upon themselves that they're never going to argue with the Tana. But how does that rule work? How does that rule work? So some suggest a very wild idea. This is a very mechudish idea. You should not assume this is mainstream at all. I'm going to roar and I say something. And someone asks a kasha on me from a Mishnah. Oh no. A Mishnah? Shoot. I can't argue with a Tana. So what do I have to do? All I have to do is try to construct some way that the Tana is not arguing with me. Do I actually believe there's the pasuk pshat of what the Tana actually said? Nope. But there's a rule that I can't argue with the Tana. And because there's a rule that I can argue with the Tana, I'm going to do whatever I can to try to get around it a little bit. I'm going to do whatever I can. It's like, even if I'm fudging it a little bit, that's okay because I'm not mefurish arguing with the Tana. And Amora is not allowed to explicitly argue with the Tana, but he can like massage his way around a little bit what the Tana himself really does. Akan, what we've done so far, we're now going to want to share with you like a couple like very, very interesting ideas and hopefully have a chance to speak about Chesui Mechzer on how exactly that works in Chazal. So let's try to go like this. When I learn Mishnah, there are two main approaches. I learn Mishnah in order to understand Gemara. The only real way to understand Mishnah is like the way the Gemara interprets it. That's all that there is. In which case, when you learn Mishnah, make sure you have someone who's going to give you the right interpretation based on the Gemara. Others, based on the Tovas Yontif here, what he suggests the Ram himself may agree with in certain contexts, an idea that goes back to the base medrash of the Gra, in Mishnah Yotzei Midei Pshuto. You can learn Mishnah just as Mishnah. I want to share with you a bit of a, maybe it's an old approach, but a bit of a new one also that's been developed. We spoke a couple weeks ago about like the Dati Lumi world and the Rav Kook towards Eretz Yisrael. I'll share with you a fascinating mahalach in learning Mishnah, and I want to give you an example of it that is, at minimum, it is very, very intriguing. There's a journal called Nituim. It's a journal on the study of Mishnah put out in the Tzioni Tzibor here. There is, can we put it out through Herzog, I think? I don't know. Yeah, through Herzog. It is there are a couple articles written by a Rav Avram Wolfish. He argues the following. I'm going to share with you a beautiful vort. Those of you that are shy after the world of Otniel, so Rav Yaakov Nagain. Rav Yaakov Nagain is a, anyone hear of him in the room?
You quote him.
Okay, so yes, Rav Yaakov Nagain is a learned in Yeshivat Shalavim, went to YU when his name was Ganak. And then at some point changed to Nagain when he moved back to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a sefer, I think I took it out, called Nishmas HaMishnah. It's a sefer on Mishnayos with some very, very beautiful insights. I'm going to give a little bit of a hakzama. Rav Avram Wolfish argues as follows. We speak about this sometimes. Rav Hutner assumed in Pachad Yitzchak that Torah Shebaal Peh, is there an order to Mishnayos? Do Mishnayos really make sense? Is there a real seder and structure to Mishnayos? Or it's like totally random. You ever think about that for a second? Take a friend of my chavrusa of many, many years, after we stopped learning, moved on to Harvard Divinity School, and he sent me a paper he wrote when he was in Harvard that opened up. I never thought about this. Bichlal. Take Maseches Shabbos. Anyone ever wonder about the structure of Maseches Shabbos? When do we speak about the malachas in Maseches Shabbos? In the middle of the seventh parak. Okay. Wouldn't that be like really important? In the middle of the seventh parak, we speak of the malachas. Anyone know, do we actually in Maseches Shabbos speak about all of the malachas in depth at all? Bichlal not. Some we do and some... What is going on in the structure of Maseches? Some Mishnayos, it looks like there's a very, very odd structure. Rav Avram Wolfish suggests, I'm going to give you one example. The example happens to be, it's a beautiful vort, which is why I'm happy to share with you. It's a beautiful, beautiful vort. He suggests that Mishnayos, you have to learn how to read Mishnayos. This is going to be very odd for some of us, with a certain awareness of literary style. There are literary tools that Chazal used when they built their Mishnayos, and one of them, I'll give you one example. Pay attention to words that seem somewhat out of place or phrases out of place. Those are often done to accomplish a particular purpose. Chazal say, I'll give you one kind of literary tool, is to begin and end, your chasima is me'ein your psicha. When you want to connote a section, so you started a certain way, so end in the same way. That's why David HaMelech, the Gemara tells Maseches Brachos, would often begin Prakma of Tehillim with Ashrei, and he would end with Ashrei. It's a way of maintaining certain things. He suggested an example that sometimes you can understand Mishnayos. Read Mishnayos as a structured work. Read Mishnayos as something that has a certain literary structure, and when you do, you will find incredibly beautiful ideas. I'll share with you Meseches Brachos, beginning and end of Meseches Brachos. Then it'll be whole Mesechtas, some it'll be sections, a lot of different literary tools, a bunch of articles about this. I'll share with you one. Many of us are familiar with this. This is just it's cool. Meseches Brachos starts with Me'emasai Koronesh Shema Ba'arvis. It starts with Kriyas Shema. Misha Shehakohanim Nichnasim Le'achol B'Trumasan. When can you start saying Kriyas Shema? From the time that Kohanim go to eat their Truma. Okay? Anyone have any questions as far as if you were writing a text, what's odd about this? Number one, why is that what we choose? Misha Shehakohanim Nichnasim Le'achol Trumasan. Why is that the time that we choose? Chazal, many Mefarshim speak about that. Is there a weird word here? From the time the Kohanim go, are nichnasin le'echol trumasan? What does nichnasin mean? Enter. Where are they entering? From the time that they are nichnasin, from the time that they are entering, okay, maybe their homes, in order to be able to go. It's a very, very odd word of nichnasin. Go to the way end of Meseches Brachos. I don't know if I said something interesting other than I do, but this is really, it's amazing. The ninth parak of Meseches Brachos, it ends in an interesting way. This is the last Mishnah. Chayiv adam levarich al hara, k'shem shu mevarich al hatov, shenem mar v'yahat Hashem elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha. What do we end Meseches Brachos with? A pasuk from Kriyas Shema. We begin with Shema, we end with Shema. Not only that, I'll just point out, Mishnayos don't often quote drashas. It's, we're quoting the drasha, dafka, of a pasuk from Kriyas Shema. That in of itself is also a little bit unique. Now let's go on a little bit. How does it end? Continuing. Lo yikanes lahar habayis b'maklo v'minalo uvit v'ndas uv'avik shal raglov. What's that halacha about? Lo yikanes lahar habayis b'... What's that about? Entering into har habayis and holy places. Number one, what word is used to describe that? Lo yikanes. What is it a reference to? Going into... holy places, just like the Kohanim Nichnasim Le'echol Trumasan. It begins and ends, we'll develop the idea in a second, but they're both somewhat unique. We begin with Kriyas Shema and end with Kriyas Shema. We begin with Avoda of the Truma, and we end with Avoda of, and we end with Avoda in Har Habayis. Now, why is that significant? This gets pretty awesome. What are Chazal trying to convey? So I'll share with you a couple of ideas that he suggests. Number one, again, this is Mishnayos learned as Mishnah. And it's Mishnayos where you're looking for certain like literary parallels and tools. Listen to this. What is the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema about? What's Kriyas Shema about? Kabbal Ol Malchus Shamayim. The purpose of Kriyas Shema is to recognize, to be Mekabal Ol Malchus Shamayim. What is the halacha that we learn from B'hat Hashem Elokecha at the way end of Meseches Brachos? Chayav Adam Levarich Al Hara K'shem Shem Mevarich Al Hatov. That you have to bless Hashem for the bad, just like you bless Hashem for the good. What are we now learning about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim from V'yahavta at the way end of Meseches Brachos? How are you mekabel Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? What's one of the ways you do it? Not only by saying Kriyas Shema twice a day, but how else am I mekabel Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? When I make brachas of Mevarech Al Hara, Mevarech Al Tov. That brachas at times are a good tool for being mekabel Malchus Shamayim. Can I just suggest something else? Is that maybe why it's an awesome way to begin and end Meseches Brachos? By teaching us about the importance of Kabbalah, it's all about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. In the beginning, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. In the end, the brachos themselves can serve as a way of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. I'll share with you one additional insight. Why would it be that we have a parallel at the end between the, why do we want the Nichnasim Le'echol Trumasan and the Lo Yikanes Lahar Habayis at the end? What's that about? So I'll share with you an interesting idea. We spoke about this at length last year. Truma is begeder, is considered like an avoda in Mikdash. Depending on when you understand that certain Mishnayos were authored, where certain Mishnayos were authored, is it possible some of this is being phrased in the time post Chorban? What is the one kind of an avoda that we may have post Chorban for a little bit? We can't offer Mishnayos. What can we do? We can eat Truma. And the parallel, what we're trying to convey right now, is that even though lo yikanes lahar habayis, even though you can't in many ways go into har habayis, we still have kohanim that are nechnasim le'echol trumasan. We still do have a certain kind. We still do have a certain kind of avoda. That part of another, a unique way of learning Mishnah unique way of learning Mishnah is not Mishnah to explain Gemara or Mishnah on my own, what the Pshat really is, but to look at the text of Mishnah and to try to explain a little bit how things like how they fit together. He has, as far as his general phenomenon, he has it in, I think, in like at least 30-something Masechtas, where he finds different ways of parallels, sometimes within Prakim and sometimes not. But the structure of Mishnah for him is always there to try and convey certain ideas. So I have to pay attention to how Mishnahs are set up. I'm going to give you two more examples. This is helpful. I'll give you examples of things that we've learned a little bit. I'll give you one example from Kiddush, and Shir, because I happen to love this stuff. The first paragraph of the next Kiddushin has two groups of Mishnayas. The first paragraph of Kiddushin is made up of two sections of Mishnayas. What are the first section all about, from Daf Beis all the way until like Chav Ches or so? Kinyanim. It's all Kinyanim. How you Isha Niknes, how your Kona and Eved Ivri, how your Kona movable objects, how your Kona animals. It's all about Kinyanim. What's the second section of the first paragraph of Maseches Kiddushin about? Starting from Chav Tes and on. Mitzvos. Mitzvos Av Halad Ben. Mitzvos Atluyos Ba'aretz. Nashim, whether the Chayim and Mitzvos or not. We have in the first paragraph of Kiddushin, again, this is the attention to structure, literally. How are you, why are they writing it this way? The first paragraph of Kiddushin is all about Mitzvos. It starts by being all about Kinyanim, and it then ends up by being all about Mitzvos. That's a setup for an idea. What is that idea? Why would you want to combine both Mitzvos and Kinyanim in the same parak? So that's the Achronim talk about. But that's one kind of idea that's going to get you thinking about, I'll share some ideas right now, is it possible that I have to reassess how I understand Kinyanim? Is it possible I have to reassess how I understand Mitzvos? The way some Mefarshim explain, some Achronim explain, Mitzvos are also a form of Kinyanim. Because what am I Kona when I do Mitzvos? Olam Haba. And therefore, the Mishnah is trying to tell us to relate to Mitzvos like Kinyanim. We put them all together in the same structure. Relate to Mitzvos. When you perform a Mitzvah, it's Kilo Yerukona something. And ideas like that. I'll give you one other one. Anyone ever here learn Masechta Rosh Hashanah? What Perek, when they learn Rosh Hashanah, do they start with? Or, sorry, the first Perek. What, those who give Shir in Rosh Hashanah often, what Perek do they learn? Anyone know? The third Perek. You know what's really odd? What are the first two Prakim of Masechta Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Chodesh. What is the first Mishnah in the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah about? Rosh Chodesh. What is the second Mishnah of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah about? Shofar. First two and one are about Rosh Chodesh. Then we start talking about Rosh Hashanah. That's a literary structure kind of a question. What would I want to then understand as far as the setup of it? If I'm learning Mishnah just as Mishnah, why in God's name would you want to do that? Why wouldn't you just have Rosh Chodesh here and Rosh Hashanah there? And if it's called Rosh Hashanah, why don't you do Rosh Hashanah first and then Rosh Chodesh? Do the year before you talk about the details of the months. Why would it be have your Rosh Chodesh first and that going one Mishnah into the third parak? And then the third parak, I start. That's why many Shiurim get stuck a little bit. You're like starting from Daf Chafet. You're starting from the beginning of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, where it's a standard place to start. And you're like, why are we picking up from like the end of Rosh Chodesh? So some will just start like, you know, a Daf later, and some will get around there. It's sometimes one way of learning Mishnah is to look at it that way. There's another way to learn Mishnah, of which I'm not going to give any examples. Sefer, I believe, called Maisa Rokeach on Mishnayos, which is to learn Mishnayos as being entirely Kabbalistic. Rimazim and Kabbalistic interpretation of Mishnayos. Literary structure, no. We're moving very, very far away from that world. We're dealing with the world of straight-up Kabbalah. The Mishnayos are a way of conveying, in a certain sense, certain Kabbalistic ideas. All of this is going to lead us now to talk about something which is very interesting, Lida'ati at least, is the Chesuri Mechzeras. When people learn Gemara, if you're not really, really into it, one of the things which often people struggle with most is Chesuri Mechzera. Really? Yeah. This makes no sense. Well, because we're missing a line or two. Wait a minute. Like a whole line or two? A whole line or two. And it's a really important, it's an important line also, because other than that line, it doesn't make any sense at all. What is the pshat in Chesuri Mechzera? What is the pshat in Chesuri Mechzera? How does that actually work? How is this coming together, the Chesuri Mechzera idea? If you look at the sheet right now, we'll talk about a couple of different ideas. Two mahalchim that are very well known, and then one mahalchim says as follows. You know what Chesuri Mechzera is? It's really, really don't be that bothered by it at all. Hey, Chesuri Mechzera. No, Chazal knew these things, Derech Kabbalah. We didn't have them, but Chazal knew them. It's a Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Bechai and Sefer Shmos says a little bit differently. Says Rabbeinu Bechai, the nature of a Chesuri Mechzera, says Rabbeinu Bechai again, is that we just aren't smart enough. if you were really smart, you could figure out all the chesaron mechzaros. It gives you everything that you may need. That's all that it is.
Okay. It's like that rehearsed idea we spoke about, how Torah Shebichsav is like the Mishnayos are like the notes, and you have to have the Perushim. The Tiferes Yisrael has an unbelievable vort in Chesed Mechzeras. If you're a fan of certain Jewish music figures, you will identify with this vort very, very deeply. Says Tiferes Yisrael the following insight. Chazal tell us that you should learn singing a song, especially Bizman Chazal. If you wanted to memorize things, so lyrics are a great way to. If I write it to a song, it's a great way to memorize things. We often remember songs, the words of songs, very well. You know what, Master? You know what happens? Sometimes the lyrics just don't fit the music that well.
Only sometimes.
Sometimes they, well, different people, different have their own style. But Nira Li Al Pimakat Tovos Shelly Megillah Al Shona Below Zimra. You have to. Thomas writes Misachs Megillah. You should learn his mirrors. Shahayu v'filin ha'izak kedei lechazek hamishna bekoach hazikarum. We want people to remember things well. But kama pamim bacharatana gamkin b'milzos ulfamim ba'achar. By the way, that's why sometimes there will be a weird word sometimes in a mishnah because fit the song better, fit the niggin better, and therefore you're going to sometimes have a word that would not be a great like shir ha'ar. Like what's pshat in this word in the mishnah? And you're like, well. Let's write a song right now and see, like, yeah, like, I mean, come on. It fits, like, this niggin really well. It's not going to win over the crowd, but so says the Tiferes Yisrael there in Mesechas Erechin. And sometimes it's about kedei lishkol b'babos ha-mishnah, to keep stanzas of equal length. So to keep stanzas of equal length, sometimes in Mishnayos, you got to be able to. Now, that makes a lot of sense. That kind of an approach, the Sfasem has been behind Tiferes Yisrael, all make more sense if I'm not learning Mishnah just as Mishnah. If it's coming with the Gemara, I want to understand in light of the Gemara. Because I can't, on its own, the Mishnah may not be that understandable. Because it's Fas MS, there may be things that we don't have access to. We may not be intellectually gifted enough to be Mechavein to everything. Says to Pharisee Yisrael, you may just not know the Niggin that well. You may not know the Niggin that well. It's like, everyone's hearing, I think they say the Divrei Chaim. It's possible? It's going to sound, if I'm wrong on this, it's one of the weirder things to ever be wrong on, so I apologize. I think the Divrei Chaim says, Sanz Rebbe, that he remembers being in a previous Gilgul, he was one of the sheep.
Yeah.
He was one of the sheep for when Yaakov Avinu was the shepherd, and he remembers the niggin that Yaakov used to sing when he was in the Divrei Chaim. So I remember once hearing from a very chashan Talmud Chacham, who has Shaychas towards Chassidus, who said, as he says, like, I don't know. It's interesting. Yaakov had the same negunim as all other like Eastern European chassidim of that era. You know, like it was not like, but like nunu. But there is like the notion of niggin and learning with niggin is something which is very powerful. But for all those approaches to mechzera, the pshat really, you really got to have mishnayos with the peirush because we may not have access to it. We may not know how the song works the same way. But something it's a good way to remember. The standards have to be good. That, by the way, also as far as Tiferes Yisrael. Is a ha'ara that fits with some of the literary structure ideas. Chazal wanted to structure Mishnayos in a way that would. We now know that songs can be literary works. What's the greatest raya, Bizman Hazeh, that songs count as literature? Thank you. What? That's a Hillel. I thought you said Dylan. Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize for Literature for his music. It's a Hillel. Come on. Where are you from? You're not in Wits anymore. You know, this is like. No, I'm saying that I said that was Bizman Hazeh. David Melech wrote to Hillel, I think, a long time ago. At least where I come from. But that was awesome. But that's that. The first Tzfas Emes says that all these things come through Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Bechai says that all these things are weak for their own. The Tiferes Yisrael and Erechim. Oh, Avram Wolfish is the name. About what? The Kabbalah Sefer called Maisa Rokeach. It's like an obscure Sefer, which we're not going to talk about, really. Refun Rapach Yitzchak has another Svara that Chasudim Mechzeres is because Torah Shebal Peh was Dafka written down without structure. Torah Shebal Peh was written down like a conversation. In a conversation, sometimes you miss a line here, miss a line there. People speak without the same kind of precision, and that's what it's really all about. In light of the Tovaz Yontif and Gra idea, and in light of that kind, you have a different pshat in Chasudim Mechzeres. Chesurim Mechzera is
there's two levels of interpretation of this Mishnah. Ein Mishnah Yotzei Midei Pshuta, which means as follows. If you want to learn like Pilsenev, like the Gram may have learned, every time that you see a Chesuei Mechzera, that is how we paskin, that is how Chazal end up actually interpreting it. But the same way Ayin Takas Ayin, I spoke about a couple weeks ago, we may darshan means mammon, there may still be value in understanding pshat, which means Chesuei Mechzera is like the drasha of Chazal in that Mishnah. Chesuei Mechzera is how we're going to paskin, how Chazal are going to interpret it. However, there is still toeles, even in case of Chesuei Mechzera. So if I'm a Rambam person, if I'm a Sfas MS person, if I'm a Rabbeinu Bechai person, the only way to understand that Mishnah is with the Chesuei Mechzera actually there. If, however, I'm a Grub person, it's very, very different. The Mishnah stands as the Mishnah and learn how to learn that Mishnah. Chesuei Mechzera comes along. Yeah. That's how Chazal darshan. That's how Chazal tell us how we are going to paskin in light of that Mishnah. But to be able to read Mishnah on our own. There's a journal that I'm very fond of called Or Yisrael. Or Yisrael is a journal put out in Muncie, I believe, by Vishnitzer Chassidim. It's a very, very chashiv Torah journal called Or Yisrael. There were a couple articles years ago about Chesuei Mechzera. There they point out that some Mikubalim understand, again, think about Maaser Rokeach, another way to learn Mishnah. Chesuei Mechzera is what you need to understand the Mishnah, al derech ha-pshat and lehalacha. But why would the Mishnah originally be structured as it is? Because it is trying to convey a certain kind of Kabbalistic idea. That the way that you learn Mishnayos are trying to convey a certain kind of Kabbalistic insight into how exactly you are in that Mishnah. But Chazal, come along, Chazal tells al derech ha-pshat, what exactly you really mean. But Mishnayos can really be read in a certain sense as Kabbalistic works, and that's why the Chesuei Mechzera were not, they were supposed to be like this. With that missing, that's because al pi Kabbalah, al pi Torah Sasod, the Mishnah itself is trying to teach us something. I want to chaz what we did and just try to point out one or two implications of some of these ideas. We're trying to understand in many ways this year elements of Chazal and what Chazal do. An underappreciated kind of topic, one that doesn't get spoken about, to my knowledge, that often at all, is how you relate to and how you learn Mishnah. We tried to speak about two, if I was like flowcharting it, because why not? We tried to speak about one Mahalach views Mishnah as entirely connected to Gemara. I can't do Mishnah without Gemara at all. For the Rambam, that's going to mean that I have to bring what the Gemara says onto the Mishnah so I can understand the Mishnah well. It's impossible to do it otherwise. For the Rambam, he's often going to give us these like intense hakdamas to learn Mishnah as well. Rashi does that also in his Perish on the Gemara. He explains Mishnah as the way that you need to understand Mishnah to then be able to get to the Gemara. The Rambam takes the Gemara, helps it in the Mishnah. Rashi will explain Mishnah to set you up a little bit for the Gemara. For a lot of people, though, you can interpret Psukim, Mishnayos, independently from how Chazal interpret it. Just like in Chumash, if Chazal darshan, you're still allowed to say another Pshat. If guy's like, no, that's not what the Gemara says. Okay, it's Chumash, I'm saying a Pshat, and why Yosef did whatever he did, it's fine. Independently, one mahal for that is going to be the Gra and Tosfos Yantif, which is going to look for Pshat. When you learn Mishnayos, try to focus on the Pshat. Can I get that before the Gemara, what the Pshat really is? We saw this more, this newer kind of an idea. By the way, that also, the Melech HaShlomo on the end of Meseches Uktzin has the same idea of this, he points out, of beginning and ending the same way. How does Shas begin? Meseches Brachos? Me'im Asai Karin Asha Shema? We begin with Meseches Brachos, Yanei Brachos. How do we end Meseches Uktzin? How do we end Meseches Uktzin? We end with the bracha, the end of Maseches Uktzin. We begin and end the same way. We even begin with the letter Mem and end with the letter Mem. Some of these ideas have precedence earlier, but to look at Mishnayos, to pay attention to certain kinds of words, and to see how those words have parallels, how those words are trying to convey. The Mishash Akonim Nichnasim, the word Nichnasim, the end of Maseches Brachos, why we have Yehada Shem Alkecha, why we have Lo Yikanes Lahar Abayim, things like that, a certain kind of literary idea. And the Sefer Maisa Rokeach is to, in a systematic way, to really do it, al pi Kabbalah, to learn Mishnayos that way. For many of us, I think we learn Mishnayos for an additional reason, which is to be familiar with basic concepts. But here we have different ways of sitting down and really learning Mishnah as Mishnah. One thing I want to point out in light of this, which I think is, many of us know that Shivim Panim LaTorah, many of us know that when we learn Chumash, there are many different levels of interpretation. Part of what we tried to point out today is at least for many, that's true with Chazal also. That's true with Chazal also. When Mishnayos were given over, so Mishnayos in a certain sense look very simple. Mishnayos sometimes look easier, certainly, than the rigor of Gemara. But part of what we were trying to do with Mishnah, Mishnah also may be subject to different levels of interpretation. Mishnahs may be subject to different levels of interpretation, and it's about trying to find out, trying to gain clarity what those are. For some, that's pshat. For some literary ideas, this day from Yaakov Nagin. This Mishnah is all about working off of some like literary structure of Mishnayos to get some powerful, powerful yesodos about how things are going to go. But when you learn Mishnayos, you relate to them as having an order. You're going to be bothered by a lot of questions in terms of why things are the way that they are. And hopefully we get a little bit more insight into Chasuri Mechzera and to why sometimes things are missing and why that may be there. Was that intentional? Was it done by Kabbalah? Is it all about just fitting the niggin to the words? Whatever that may be, we find that to be compelling. But it does hopefully open up for us a little bit the depths of Chazal. When different Gedolei Torah look at a Mishnah, they may see such radically different things in that Mishnah. I look at that Mishnah and I think about all that the Gemara darshans from it. I look at that Mishnah and I try to ask myself, I'll be pshat, what were Chazal really trying to convey? I look at that Mishnah, I'm trying to be sensitive to word plays, I try to be sensitive to literary structure. I look at that Mishnah and I'm thinking about Kabbalah and how I can learn that Mishnah in a Kabbalistic kind of way. All very, very different ideas and approaches to how we learn Mishnah. All with the recognition, this is what I'm going to, which is beautiful, people do these things. There are Sfarim published that do these things of how to learn Mishnah. When we speak about last week, the authority of Chazal, the binding nature of the words of Chazal, for me at least, it's mechazik, again, for me at least, a degree of Emunas Chachamim when you learn some of these Perushim. When you see the beautiful insights that were done with Chazal, be it a Kabbalistic Ramazim in the Mishnayos, be it the way that Chazal may have structured Meseches Rosh Hashanah, which may fit so beautifully with the Lamdas of Rosh Hashanah having a Rosh Chodesh type component with it. And that's why Rosh Chodesh is going to be there in the beginning of the third parak. That it may be that to understand Meseches Kiddushin, I have to understand these are not regular Kinyanim. These are Kinyanim that relate to mitzvahs. That these are ideas that may transform how I learn things. The way that Chazal did Mishnayos, the depths of Torah a person can find in Mishnah, for me, is at times just straight up inspiring. Say like Meister Rokeach, say for all on that topic, the stuff is amazing. As far as the authority of Chazal, they're authoritative and they did it in a way which is mind blowing at times. The way they structured things, the way they organized things, the way they wrote things to give us a tool not only to memorize, not only as a hakdama to Torah. Mishnayos not as a hakdama or as a means to understand Gemara. Mishnayos as an end. Mishnayos is something which on its own can be studied in a very, very deep way and in a way which can give us tremendous insight. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.